Chapter 2. A Pleasant Evening. The next day I had breakfast early and said goodbye to the people at the inn. It was a beautiful day and I went out for a walk. I began to climb the hill and walk towards the prince's castle. After half an hour, I saw the castle. It was large and in good condition. It had been a fortress many years ago and was surrounded by a deep moat. If Prince Michael wanted to be left alone, he could raise the drawbridge and nobody could enter his castle. I walked in the forest for an hour until I felt tired. Then I sat down to rest and quickly fell asleep. I dreamt of a train, of a beautiful princess, and of a castle in a forest. It was a very pleasant dream. I was just going to receive a kiss from the princess when I was woken up by someone shouting, "Look at this man! If he shaved his beard, he'd look exactly like the king!" I opened my eyes. Two men were looking at me with great curiosity. They both carried guns for hunting. One was older, round and short. The younger one was thinner. I stood up and smiled at them.
"He's the same height, too," the older one said. "May I ask your name, sir?" he asked.
"Perhaps you can tell me your names first," I answered. The young man stepped forward.
"This is Colonel Sapt, and I am Fritz von Tarlenheim. We work for the future king of Ruritania."
I stood up and bowed. "I'm Rudolf Rassendyll, and I'm a traveller from England."
"Rassendyll," Colonel Sapt said, "are you a relative of the royal family?"
"Yes, I am," I answered. "I'm here for the coronation." Suddenly, a man appeared from behind a tree. As soon as I saw him, I let out a cry, and he stepped back in shock. Except for my beard, he looked exactly like me, and I looked exactly like him.
"Colonel, Fritz," the man said, "who is this gentleman?"
Colonel Sapt explained that I was his English cousin, also called Rudolf. The king listened with a serious face. Then his expression changed into a smile. He turned to me.
"Good to meet you, cousin. Please forgive me, as I was very surprised. After all, a man doesn't expect to meet his double in the middle of a forest in Zender."
"Yes, I was surprised too, Your Majesty," I said. "It's nice to meet you, finally."
"Where are you travelling to?" he asked.
"To Strelzo, for your coronation," I answered with a smile. The king smiled, but he seemed a little uneasy.
"My brother would be shocked to see that I have got a double," he said. "His castle is not far from here. We were just visiting him."
"True," Fritz said. "It might not be safe for Mr. Rassendyll to visit Strelzo now. Prince Michael might see him and think he is you, Your Majesty."
"He mustn't go," Sapt agreed.
"Sir," I said to the king, "if necessary, I will leave Ruritania today. I don't want to cause any trouble."
"No," the king said. "You will dine with me tonight. It's not every day I meet a new relation."
"Thank you, Your Majesty," I said, and bowed. We walked for some time through the forest, and the king talked the whole way. He asked me many questions about our family in England. Finally, we came to a hunting lodge and went inside. A servant named Joseph brought us a delicious meal. The king ate hungrily, but Colonel Sapt and Fritz ate very little. I didn't have much appetite either. It was strange to be dining with a future king, even if he was my family.
"Let's have something to drink," the king demanded.
A servant came out with a bottle and said, "This is a gift from your brother, the Duke of Strelzo, Your Majesty."
"Very good," the king said.
He drank the whole bottle himself.
"To my new cousin Rudolf,"
the king exclaimed, raising his glass. Afterwards, we all went to sleep in the lodge.
That's all I remember from that very pleasant evening. I did not know how long I had slept. I awoke early the next morning in shock as somebody threw a bucket of cold water over me.
"Are you mad?" I shouted. "That was a stupid thing to do." "Shh, there's no time to argue," Colonel Sapt said. "Look."
The king lay on the floor in front of us. His face was as red as his hair, and he was breathing heavily. Sapt moved him gently with his hand, but he did not respond.
"We've been trying to wake him up unsuccessfully," Fritz said.
"He's been drugged heavily," Sapt said. "It was probably that bottle of wine, the gift from his brother."
I took the king's hand to feel his pulse. It was very slow. We looked at each other in shock.
"We must get a doctor," I said.
"We're in a forest. There's no doctor around here," Sapt said. "He won't be able to move for at least 6 or 7 hours.
"But the coronation is tomorrow," I said.
"We must explain that the king is ill and postpone the coronation," Fritz said.
"No," said Sapt. "If he isn't crowned tomorrow, he'll never be crowned. His brother, Prince Michael, will take control of the country."
"That's right," said Fritz. "The Duke wanted to prevent the coronation. That's why he sent the wine to the king. That terrible villain. I will rot in hell before I let Prince Michael become the new king."
For a moment or two, we were all silent. Then Sapt looked at me for a long time. He said,
"As a man grows old, he begins to believe in destiny. Destiny sent you here, Rudolf, exactly at this time, because you look identical to our king. And now your destiny must send you to Strelsau, to your coronation."
"What?" I exclaimed. "That's impossible. I can't be a king."
"It's a risk," said Sapt. "But if you shave your beard, nobody will know you aren't the king."
"But my cousin would never forgive me," I said.
"He would," Sapt said. "We are doing him a favour. We are saving the throne for him. Once he is better, he will take the crown from your head, and all will be well."
Time was passing. I stood there, frozen, looking at the two men. Finally, Sapt looked at me and said,
"Will you go?"
"Yes," I said. "I'll go. But I don't think I'll be a very good king."
"You'll be fine," said Sapt. "We'll leave for Strelsau this evening."
They put me in a chair and went to get a jug of hot water, soap, and a razor blade. Fritz shaved my beard while Sapt gave him careful instructions.
"But what about the real king?" Fritz asked. "Somebody might find him here and we can't move him."
"We must hide him in the coal cellar," Sapt said. "He'll sleep for many more hours before the drug is out of his system. Joseph will be with him and will protect him."
"But what if the Duke's men find him?" I asked.
"They won't if he's in the coal cellar," was the answer.
It was 6 o'clock now, and there was no time to lose. I dressed in the king's uniform and put his boots on my feet. I put on the royal helmet, and Sapt handed me the king's sword. We jumped on horses and headed for the train station. The whole way, Sapt instructed me on how to act like the king. He told me about my cousin's life, his tastes, and who his friends were. Sapt promised that he would be by my side constantly at the coronation and guide me. Could I do it? The train was quick. By nightfall, I could see the rooftops of Strelsau from the window. As we got off the train, I felt extremely nervous and prayed we'd be safe. All the troops were there to greet us. The bells of the city were ringing in the king's honour. Everywhere the people were shouting, "God save the king! God save the king!" Old Sapt smiled and whispered to me,
"God save both of you. Courage, boy!"